LNB's audio diary for the 19th of May, 2024. It is a Sunday and it's just about 10:30 in the morning. I'm actually at the shelter right at the moment, but I'm about to take off. Mrs. Bronx had some stuff to take care of. There was a clinic, you know, it was all clinic this week, so, or the past week. So she wanted to go in and get everything set for the coming week. So I dropped it off. I helped her open a big can that was there. 5-gallon bucket of Carbolime, which they use to absorb CO2 in surgery from the patient. And now I'm running to the grocery store, Safeway, to see if they got something I can pick up for her breakfast. She's on a diet, so she wants something in particular. This morning, yeah, the inside of the car stunk. And I opened the windows to air it out. I didn't know what it was, but the scent was familiar. And Mrs. Bronx came in, and that's when she spotted a dead mouse. And she went in and got this spray that we have. It's called Nature's Miracle. It's kind of like Febreze. Febreze is more or less the same thing. And that stuff, if you don't use that stuff for like spots of bad odors and stuff, you really should think about it because it's astounding how well it works. That you just spray it on the spot that has a sight of bad odor, and it can come from any, you know, if you're a pet owner, you know what I mean, but it can come from almost anything. You know, you spill something and, you know, then there's a scent there that you can't quite get out no matter how hard you try. And you know, so she brought that out and sprayed that. It does take time to work because it's enzymatic. It's not a purely chemical cover-up or something like that. So I can still smell it, in other words, but it's better and it will get better in time. Probably the next time I get in the car, I'll barely be able to smell it. Some other day, like tomorrow or something like that. But the mouse, we were home for a couple of days and didn't go anywhere, so I didn't notice it, and the mouse was probably dead for a couple of days anyway, based on the odor. Anyway, so I took that out and I buried it, and then we got on the road. So that was interesting. That was our morning drama. So anyway, what have I been up to? Well, yesterday I worked on the book. I've been working on the role-playing game for, I don't know, the past week or more. Still have a lot to do on that. First off, I was getting myself set for the game, but there have been some scheduling conflicts, so we've had to reschedule that. So I actually have more time, which is good. I didn't have to go crazy trying to get that done. But I've been working on the rules too. You know, it's funny the way I kind of progress on it. Sometimes I'll sit down and I'll say, yeah, I want to do this thing, and I'll work on it for an extended period of time. But then, other times, I only go at fixing a particular rule or rule set when I'm working on the adventure, the game session, the upcoming game session. And I'll find something that needs some work, and I always told myself, I'm going to go back and work on that. Or something has come up in the game, and it needs a ruling or could use a ruling that could stand the test of time. So I'll create something that I'll be able to use again and again if the situation ever comes up again. If it's too picky and if it's too, you know, if it's too much in the realm of edge case where you're very, very unlikely to run into this again, you know, don't bother making a rule. That's ridiculous. Don't make a rule for stuff you know, you may only use once or twice in the entire time you're playing, or very rarely anyway, and that consistency, it doesn't really matter. So that's the thing you should do on the fly, in my opinion, because otherwise you're just adding to the body of rules, and you just have to dig and dig and dig when you're looking for the right rule, unless you have some kind of perfect organizational system where you would be able to refer to the book or the base rules, however form, you know, whether it's in a book or PDF or whatever, you can refer to the base rules and find that exact thing again and again and again. And the key to that is having a naming scheme that you can consistently find again and again and again, right? So if it's something in spells, that's fairly easy. You know, like say you're doing a fantasy role-playing game. I'm not, but say you are. If it's something in spells, you can just refer to that again and again because it's always going to be under spells, under the name of the spell. That's very easy to find. But if it's something weird, something unusual, if you don't need to look at it again and for a year, 2 years, what did you call it? And you'll be flipping through the rule book, you know, like an idiot because you can't remember what, you know, because it might be called a bunch of things. Maybe it was jumping. Maybe it was leaping. Maybe it was crossing, you know, dangerous space. You could have put it almost anywhere, you know, because it was one of these things that you were probably never going to use again and again and again. Well, my memory's bad, so I do that even with stuff that I do refer to again and again and again. And that's where I tend to run into problems. I'm very, very disorganized. And, you know, I come up with all this stuff, but then it gets kind of scattered and put in different places. So I end up having to dig through the rule book trying to remember where everything is. And I have standing sets of rules that are a problem. You know, they're a problem, you know, they're problematic the way they're laid out in the rule book. You know, and I've talked about this before, but there's damage and healing in the game. And I have that sort of stuff scattered between a whole bunch of sections. You know, there's some of it in, I have a section called damage and healing. There's some of it's there. Some of it's in combat because that's where you would expect to see something about damage and healing. There's also some of it in the equipment because there's a medico kit. So there's some of it there. There's some of it just in a section like on falling, how much damage, you know, so they're all scattered all over the place, and that's not good. That's not good organization. And I need to consolidate that so that you can, if there's any kind of damage, anybody getting hurt, you go to this one spot, and it doesn't matter what the source is, the answer is going to be there. That's how I want to organize it. But the way it's set up now, it's not like that. So I'm running into problems like that again and again. Okay, hold on. Okay, that was Safeway. Whew. They have sushi here, too. Now, before you wrinkle your nose and, you know, pull back in complete revulsion at the idea of eating sushi in the middle of the desert, which, you know, to be fair, was my initial reaction, too, it's not terrible, usually. Some days it is. That's not, not only is that not a ringing endorsement, that doesn't sound like any reason to eat it, but, I love sushi, and, you know, if you want it, you're gonna have to either go to a sushi place, and there is one here in the area, a couple of places that serve it, actually, that make it fresh, but, you know, even there, you know, the fish isn't fresh, there's no way it could be, and some of the stuff they have to make days in advance, just days in advance. And, you know, like, Little Bronx likes egg tamago, which is an egg-based, omelet-based sushi that's, you know, actually difficult to make. I saw a documentary on sushi makers, and it's actually the hardest thing of all to make, when it comes to sushi. And, to get it right, I should say. It's probably the easiest to mix up, the hardest to master, one of those things. And it was good. You know, it's usually good. If depending on where you go and whatever. So anyway, this supermarket sushi is what I'm getting around to. And there's supposed to be a new motel over here, but I've been seeing. I'd have to drive down there and then mess around with going in the park. I don't know. Doing that just yet. Not just yet. A little later today because Mrs. Bronx is meeting somebody. They're going to have a little picnic in the park. It's a friend of hers from the job, so I don't want to hang around. I'll just drop her off. I have some other shopping I'm going to do at Walmart because it's cheaper. Anyway, supermarket sushi, sometimes it's pretty good. It's never great, but sometimes it's pretty good. And I'm hoping today's will be as well. I just got a, I don't know, some kind of roll. I don't know what it is. Something to eat for breakfast. There you go. And it's not, I don't think there's any raw fish. I don't think, yeah, there are a couple of sashimis there. There is some actual raw fish, but a lot of times they like to cook their fish, which you could say, well, that's not sushi. But technically speaking, sushi isn't the fish. Sushi is the rice. So anything can be sushi. You could do hamburger sushi if you want to, which, you know, that might not be bad, all things considered. Not too bad. Supermarket sushi. If I'm willing to eat this, I'd eat that, right? Okay. So, let's see. Yeah. So, yeah, with regards to organization in the game, it's a mighty challenge for me. Trying to figure out how, because I do, I want one centralized location where you would find this information in the book. And what I should do is just put a note wherever it appears to check the damage and healing chapter. And in the damage and healing chapter, have a section for every type of damage or every circumstance that currently I have mapped out in the rules, right? That, you know, you're gonna run into, I'm gonna go for it, the yellow light, I'm doing it. Okay. You know, just everywhere that I have that appearing in the book, I should, you know, plot, you know, either excise it or copy it. There's no reason why I can't have, you know, see, that's the thing too. I should have maybe leave all those rules, but then copy them into damage and healing so that you can find everything there as well. And, you know, I don't know how you feel about it because there's some, I guess there are different styles or approaches to this sort of thing. But I think that the, I think one approach that I prefer is to have the information you want wherever you happen to be looking, right? Or as close as possible, right? So, you know, to have damage and healing, you have a chapter on it and you have all your details there, but then everywhere else that there's damage and, you know, damage and healing mentioned or some kind of rules about damage and healing, just copy it and put it there, right? So there might be multiple copies of the same rule set that you can find throughout the book. That's a good thing for the sake of the players and the GM, of course. The downside is that if you make one change in any of those rules, it's really easy to blank on it and not get everything, right? So there is that. So when the rules are in flux the way they always are in Star Drifter, which is, on the one hand, from a developmental standpoint, it's a great thing. From a player standpoint and a game master standpoint, it's not so great because it's a moving target. You jump into the game and then there's a new version in a little while. You know, I haven't released a new version in quite a while, and that's partly because of this issue. I don't want to just constantly throw out new versions of the game. Plus, getting them polished to the point where I feel comfortable with other people using the books, that's a bit of an issue too for me, because I just don't want someone to have something that's really just chopped up in pieces. Which right now, the rules are. I have the rules set up in a fashion that I'm you know, different sections, different chapters, I have broken up into separate files entirely, and I'll have to find a way to combine all those for a finished or a semi-finished alpha stage version of the rules, a new one to come out. I think that's the best way to go myself, but anyway, at some point, I was hoping this year, but it's probably not going to be this year, I wanted to get the first version out of what you might consider beta rules, because I consider these alpha rules. Really, I'm almost really at the beta stage. Maybe I should say they're beta rules, but not entirely. Not entirely. I don't know. If people have an opinion on this, that would be great to hear it. But I think ultimately, you know, the choice is mine as to where I feel comfortable releasing the rules. And I just don't feel comfortable releasing the rules. So, That doesn't really get more complicated than that. Is there a milestone I want to reach before I release the rules? I guess there is, actually. I guess there is. And right now, I want to expand the spaceship and space combat rules. And once I've done that, so that it can handle more or less some basic gaming, then I think that will go from there. Kyle and his gang from Among the Stars, which is a Star Drifter role-playing game, they had a space combat on their show. It's a podcast, and they did a space combat. They got attacked by pirates, and they did space combat following the rules. But it turned out the rules were hard to follow, and they did have to fudge some stuff because it just wasn't there. They also had to fudge upgrading the ship because the rules just aren't there. So I have work to do there before I'm really comfortable. And that illustrated it quite clearly that there was stuff to be done. Who the fuck are these people? It's all these people. Well, it's 11 o'clock. They're open now. All right. Okay. Hold on. Okay. So that was... let's see, what did I do? I picked up Mrs. Bronx. She was meeting someone in the park, so we went there. Actually, I helped her for a while, and then we went there. And, waited for her friend to show up. Friend's bringing, sandwiches, so they're gonna sit at a little gazebo that's in the park. She called it a ramada, which kind of threw me, because it's not a term I've heard associated with a gazebo, but it is one, which I never knew. She said by a ramada, and I said, did they build a ramada in next to the park that I didn't know about? There is one that's kind of across the street and down, but that was about the way, you know, so I was quite confused about the whole thing. But Mrs. Bronx looked it up on her phone, and ramada also means gazebo, but it's not a word I ever used for it. It was always just a gazebo or a little shelter or whatever. We were in the right spot anyway, so it's a nothing story, but something that happened. Let's see. So yeah, more about the game and the structure of the game. Yeah, I think I like the idea of just copying over all the relevant material, so that if there are a bunch of places you can go to find information, that information will be available everywhere, you know, in all of those places. Because maybe it's not such a good thing to centralize. The reason being is that unless you go to that one spot, you're always going to have to flip through the book, right? You know, we're not paying, especially in PDF form, it doesn't cost you anything to add extra words. So, you know, maybe in print it might, but even so, you're not talking about very much. So I don't see a real problem with it. But I think it would make it easier to find stuff if there were just copies of all the information in all the different places, you know. You get shot, you look up the guns, and that does this. Right. Well, is that the best place for healing? Well, it's damage. It's a spot for damage, right? But I also have a spot, naturally, for equipment, right? And guns and stuff. You know, weaponry. And as a result, you have this question about, well, you have a damage and healing category, you know, chapter. You have a chapter on equipment, which includes weapons, and that's all damage. I think I'm gonna go here. All right. So there's lots and lots of questions about where I should place all this stuff, you know? In most fantasy games, at least as I recall, healing is in basically just a couple of spots, right? You have a section on hit points, and usually healing is right there under hit points, right? Well, I have that too, right? Then you have magical healing, and wherever those spells are, or if it's a potion, they'll list how much healing it does right there. And those are special cases because you can heal independent of magic, right? It's much slower, but you can. So that more or less parallels what I'm trying to do, but I you know, there's also going to be other cases, right? They're going to talk about if you fall off a cliff. They're going to talk about fire damage, you know, and things like this. And so it can be scattered around. I don't know. I mean, I don't mind that, like, fire, falling damage and it's what I call impact damage. And I don't mind that impact damage has its own chapter, because how often are you going to run into it? You will sometimes, and when you do, you're going to want the information. But it's not necessarily going to be where you're running into it most of the time. And I feel like most of the time, if you have damage, it's going to be from combat. But it depends on your game, right? You know, I go back to Among the Stars. That's a pretty action-packed game as things go. There've been combat. There's been, you know, they've had a fair amount of combat in that. And some of it is pretty heady stuff. They had a really big combat in a docking bay. And it, you know, blew the crap out of another ship. And it was just, you know, because somebody turned their weapon, the rear guns of their ship, on another ship in the docking bay inside the state. I mean, that was pretty intense. And I just found that to be really cool. Then again, in my own game, we have yet to have a fight, right? It really does depend on the style of the game. And I discourage combat in the game. I discourage it in the rule book, and I discourage it when I'm playing, you know, because it's deadly. Yeah, and there's no take backs, you know? You get killed, you're dead, and that's that. Granted, you know, the medicine in this future time is almost magical, it's so good, but dead is still dead. And if they can't keep you alive, you're a goner, and that's it. You know, and basically my cutoff, at least in Star Drifter, because it's set in a modern space station, modern for that time space station, there's a hospital, one major hospital, and the rule of thumb is that if you're alive when they get you to the hospital, you're gonna live, right? Because they can heal virtually anything except death itself, right? So that, you know, taken as a whole, if you can get someone to a place where there is advanced medical care, they're gonna live. So that's basically how it is. However, even the medico skill and a medico kit, those things can really help a lot, you know? The higher your medico, the more healing you can do. Not by a lot, you never do a ton of healing, not like some super magical healing potion. But then again, people don't have a ton of points that they need healing, you know? You only really need to heal hit points. You don't really need to heal stamina. In the rules, stamina, you can heal that up through the medico skill or, you know, using a medico kit anyway. You can heal up from that stuff, but it's a waste, right? Because you'll use an application of it and then you get all of your points back for stamina, because stamina comes back very quickly in this game. Only player characters have stamina. NPCs don't have a stamina score. So, there are a lot of considerations there that make healing a little more complex than just some, you know, magic potion or something like that getting you healed up. That being said, there's got to be ways to simplify it. I don't know. Anyway, not a lot more is going on. Haven't been watching anything new, so there's not a lot to report just yet. So, Anyway, I guess that's it for today, because I am not home.